And speaking of enjoying things and appreciating things, when we talk about human and temporal and earthly things, we know that everyone enjoys things a little differently. We all have the way, different ways of enjoying the things that we enjoy. Some people like to work hard and play hard, and that's kind of how they're wired. Or others like to enjoy slow and restful time off of work or so on. When you're going on a vacation, would you rather it be just fast paced and breakneck and doing all these exciting things, or would you rather do nothing and just let the time pass slowly by? Everybody enjoys things differently. Do you eat your dessert quickly, or do you like to slowly savor every bite? Everybody's different. Some people prefer to eat it quickly before the meal, and others like to save it until after the meal when they're not stuffed anymore and just savoring it. Do you like to spend your gift money quickly, or do you take plenty of time to make the perfect purchase? Well, this is special money, and I'm just going to hold it until I've forgotten that I even have it, because I'm waiting for that perfect gift. Everybody's a little bit different. And there's probably not a right or wrong way to do these things. And maybe the way that you do it is the best way for you. But that's not always the case in life, especially when it comes to the area of God's will. God's gifts are to be received and used and enjoyed His way. Not just any way we choose, but His way. And this morning I want us to see Isaac's example in Genesis 24, and we'll see some instruction on how to enjoy God's will. How to enjoy God's will. We've been going through this chapter, looking at the different people included, and we're almost done. We're going to finish up next Sunday with this chapter, but we're going to look at Isaac's example today, and we'll see some principles on how to enjoy God's will. And God wants you to enjoy His will. He wants you to have it. He wants you to receive it. He wants you to experience it, and not just experience it and have it, but enjoy it. You and I can enjoy God's will, but we have to. If we're going to properly enjoy it, we have to do it His way. Let's pray, and we'll read the verses here in Genesis 24. Lord, help us to have Your will. Help us to desire Your will. It starts by desiring Your will. There are things in life that we cannot control, but there are many parts of Your will that we can refuse and we can reject and run from and disdain. Help us to seek after it. Help us to receive it and enjoy it Your way. And if we do, we will see the great rewards and great blessings and the great fruit and profit that You have put into it and You want us to see. For Your glory, pray that You teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 24, we're going to go to the end of the chapter, and this is where it talks about and shows us Isaac. Isaac appears, but we're also going to look at other parts of the chapter to see some principles that I think must have been, had to have been present in his life in order for him to be in the place that he was at the end of the chapter. Your personal choices will always come out in the place that you are. It will guide you to the place that you need to be. And so if we're in the right place, it's because we have been living and thinking and choosing the right way. Genesis 24, verse 59, it says, "And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men." They're leaving the city of Nahor and going back to where Abraham and Isaac live. Verse 60, "And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." I don't know if they had any inkling how true this blessing would turn out to be, and still is. Israel still is thousands of millions. I mean, we would say that's billions. I don't know exactly how many people have been Jews over the centuries, but they still possess the gate of those which hate them. The world, by and large, hates Israel, and they still are there, and God still works through them and helps them. Verse 61, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. How to enjoy God's will? Well, it began for Isaac long before this moment. He didn't only begin to enjoy God's will at this moment, but this was the culmination of it. When God provided him a wife, this was a need that he had and something that had been there for a while, as we'll see. But how was he in a position to enjoy God's will? And how, I'm sure, well, we see, at least in one area, that it was a blessing to him. This wasn't just, well, good, I checked that off my list. I have a wife now. I guess I'll be able to have children because that's what I really want, or something else. This was God's will for him, and he truly did enjoy it. It was a blessing to him. How did he get to this point? Well, the first principle that we'll see is, in order to enjoy God's will, you need to trust in God. I think saints can live a paradox at times. We are living a paradox because we can hold on to, or it seems that we're holding on to, mutually exclusive ideas. If it's mutually exclusive, they can't both be in the same place. Oil and water don't mix. They are mutually exclusive. And we can have ideas like that. And it's unintentional hypocrisy, I think. But it is hypocrisy. And it causes great tension in our souls. We can hold on to them both, and we don't realize how they're pulling us apart, essentially. We're trying to have them both. But it's hypocrisy. And they're mutually exclusive. For instance, we say that we want God's will. Yes, I want God's will in my life. And then we fret about where God's will seems to be taking us. I want God's will, but not that. Isn't it God's will? Well, aren't we getting what we want then? So why are we fretting? Mutually exclusive. You can't fret about God's will and say that you want God's will. We say that God knows best. God knows best, but then we can plot and pull strings to get the outcome upon which we've set our affections. God knows best, but I'm going to try to get what I want. And these are mutually exclusive ideas. We say that we're walking by faith, but then we are uneasy and worried every time we can't see what's going on. I just want to walk by faith, but if I can't see what's going to happen, then I get upset. Well, that's what faith is all about. We don't see what's going on. We must trust God. We know that Hebrews 11:6, very familiar verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I know that he's God, and I know that he'll reward me if I diligently seek him. So if we really believe that, we'll be excited and at rest by pursuing after God and seeking his will. Instead of fretting about where God's will seems to be taking us and agonizing over that, we should agonize over seeking to know God's will and then fully relax when we identify and follow it. It should matter to us. I need to know God's will. I need to know what God wants for me. That's where the agony comes in, the effort, the diligence, the blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, because I don't want to do the wrong thing. I'm going to focus on knowing God's will. There, God revealed it to me. Now I know. I'm just going to take a step, and I can relax now. The hard part's over for me. I'm just following him. I know what he wants me to do, and there's no more fretting. There's no more worry and fear. There's no more tension. We should watch with excitement to see how God will accomplish his outcomes. And this is easy to say. It no doubt was difficult for Moses and the Israelites when they were on the banks of the Red Sea. But if they were able to stop and think, if they could hit time out and pause it for a second, they would say, "We're at the Red Sea here. We've got the water in front of us. Can't go forward. We've got the mountains on either side of us, can't go to side to side. We've got the Egyptian army behind us, can't go back. We can't go anywhere. But we also know there's the pillar of fire behind us, between us and Egypt. And there's no way out, right? There's no hope. Actually, there is. We know God brought us here. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how God's going to resolve this impossible situation. It'll be a wonderful thing. I can't wait to see it because he led us here and he's still protecting us. He's still with us. So it'll be an exciting thing how God will accomplish his outcomes through impossible situations. And we should exult as well, exult in the passing of every day that we walk by faith. Today, by God's grace, I believed that I walked by faith. I believe that I walked through the day and following the Lord. I'm not saying I'm sinless, but this was the direction, the pattern of today. Praise the Lord. This was a great day. Well, but I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's all right. Tomorrow may not come. But today, please the Lord. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. We should exult in that. Well, but tomorrow, don't give in to fear and worry. Trust in God. This is what Isaac did. And if we trust in God and live this way, we will be able to enjoy God's will. We have to trust in him. If you don't trust in him, you won't enjoy his will, his plan for you. Because it might be a bad plan, you know, because you don't trust in God. You don't believe that God can give you a good plan, and so you can't let yourself enjoy it. It might be flawed. And that's silly to say, but that's how we can live. How do we trust in God? Well, it begins by trusting in God's past work. Look at Genesis 24, 1. It says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Isaac was 40 years old when he got married. And obviously 40 years is a relatively long time. It's not as long as it used to be. It used to be ancient. Now it's not. But he had seen God do great things. And he knew the story. Abraham no doubt would have told him all that God had done. And he could see what God had done. And so how could he trust in God for the future? Well, he had seen what God had done in the past. Had God ever failed Abraham? Had God ever mistreated or misled him any time in his life? Of course not. I read this recently. A writer was talking about Lot's life and how Lot's life turned out. Very sad ending to that story. And there was a change in Lot's life when Lot separated from Abraham. Abraham had God's will for his life and a direction he was going. And as long as Lot was with Abraham, Lot was also blessed and doing well. And we don't know all the things that happened in Lot's heart. But he separated and left, and it didn't turn out well. He went into a place that was not God's will. And no doubt Isaac had heard about that. We know that Isaac wouldn't even have existed if it weren't for God's faithful and trustworthy character and promises. Isaac was conceived and born because of God's promises. Trust in God's past work. Look at Psalm 136. If you're having trouble trusting God, go to the Word of God, go to the Scriptures, because it is an example, it is a record of what God has done in the past. Trust in God's past work, and you can trust that God will be the same God in the future. We don't know the future, but God does, and we can read about the past, and God will be the same God. I love this psalm. If you will read, and we won't do it now, but go home and read this psalm out loud. Get into a room all by yourself if you have to, if you're too embarrassed to do it around others. But every verse ends with the same phrase, and it has a musical connotation, a musical impact, I should say, because psalms are songs, of course. But if you read this not as a filler, yeah, we have to say this phrase, for his mercy and do it forever, but it actually adds to every verse. It's an exciting psalm to read. But this is recounting all that God has done in the past and talking about what he will do in the future, and he will continue to be God. We won't read the whole thing for sake of time, but it's a great psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great works, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. Every single one of these things are related to his mercy. And we'll stop there. You can read on and on. God did this, God did that, and through it all, his mercy endureth forever. Trust God's past work. Isaac had many compelling reasons to trust God in the future because of the past, and so do we. How can we trust God in the future? We don't know what will happen. What if this? What if that? Well, look at all that God has done. The Bible is full of God's past works. Trust it. Trust God's ongoing work. Go back to Genesis 24, one of the great verses that we know in the Psalms that talk about God's past work. It says, Psalm 126:3, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." We're glad for these things. He has done these things, and he will continue to do great things for us. Trust God's past work, and trust God's ongoing work. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things, Genesis 24, 1. Look at verse 2. "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites." Look at verse 35. Abraham made the servant to swear, to make a promise, a solemn oath, and then sent him on his way, and God was at work. It wasn't just in the past that God was working. He was working every day. Verse 35, it says, "And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maidservants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath." This was not just God's past work. Isaac didn't say and couldn't say, "Well, God did things, but he's not working anymore." No, God had continued to bless Abraham. Isaac had continued to grow up and develop, and Abraham had given everything to Isaac. God still had a plan and still was working. Trust God's ongoing work. What has God done for you in the past? What is he doing for you today? What did he do for you yesterday? Well, it was so small, it didn't seem like much. But still, be encouraged that God is working. God is still working, and it's still a great work. Isaac could see. He could continue to see how God was working through his father and preparing the way for Isaac to go on and fulfill God's plan. Remember the promises God made to Abraham. You will be the father of many nations, great nations and many people, and Isaac is the one I've promised, and that was still ongoing. Isaac wasn't where he wanted to end up, but God was continuing to work. I've noticed the tendency that I have, and you probably have it too. We're where we are, and there are things we like about it, things we don't, and we want to be there. And so we're looking for that one thing to bridge the gap and bring us all the way over. Yes, I'm where I want to be. But God's will is often and usually fleshed out in small steps. Small steps. Well, I'm not where I want to be yet. God's not done. Trust in his ongoing work. Well, I'm still getting there. Yep, and he's still working. Be patient. Well, but that person isn't saved yet. Keep witnessing. I don't have victory yet. Keep working. Keep seeking God. I'm not there yet. I know. But look at all God has done. And he's still working. Same principles. Trust in God. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Are you saved today? Then God has done a good work, has begun a good work in you. Are you where you want to end up? Neither am I. But look at all God has done. He will perform it. He will continue to work. If you don't appreciate, listen to this, if you don't appreciate what God has done and what God is doing, then you won't appreciate what he will do. We have pictures in our mind of what God will do or what we want him to do. But if God's going to do it, it's going to be good. It's going to be righteous. It's going to be, you know, all the things that he is. And if you don't appreciate what God has already done and you don't appreciate what God is doing now, you won't like what he will do. So if you have a, if you have trouble appreciating these other things, that's a harbinger of what he's, of what you're going to think about what he will do. And the problem is, of course, is not him, it's us. Trust God's past work. Trust God's ongoing work. If you don't like it, change what you like so that you do like it. It's been said many times, if you're rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn the cat around. I think I've heard that somewhere. Well, God isn't doing what I like. Turn yourself around. Repent. Learn to like what God does. Then you can have your cake and eat it too. You can want what he does and then be thrilled when he does it. Whatever he does. Trust in God. Trust God's past work. Trust God's ongoing work. And trust God's future work. Believe. Trust it. He's going to make it. He's going to bring it to pass. Genesis 24:3. Abraham's talking to the servant. I will make thee swear that thou take not a wife unto my son. Verse 4, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. It's possible that this trip one way would take around 6 weeks. And Isaac could have sat around and thought, boy, 3 months of travel? This, how long is this going to, what, there are bandits along the way, no doubt. There are all kinds of reasons why this might not work out. What if there isn't a woman? What if she doesn't want to be my wife? What if, trust God's future work. Trust God to lead your leaders. Abraham was Isaac's leader. Trust God to lead his servants. Abraham's servant had a leading role in this task. Trust God to make a provision. For there to be a woman who will come back and marry you, Isaac. Trust God to clear the path. What if her leaders won't let her come? She's the perfect wife, but it didn't work out because they said no. Trust God to clear a path. Trust God to preserve his provision for you. Travel, safety. What if she changed her mind halfway back and wanted to go home? Trust God. There were so many factors at work in this equation, and Abraham could not safely trust in any of them. What if my father doesn't have the right idea? What if the servant isn't faithful? What if she doesn't want to come? What if she's a wicked woman? What if her father won't let her come? What if criminals stop them and kill them on the way back? He had to trust God, which allowed him to relax and submit to God's ordained elements. I can't do anything about it anyway. So I may just well enjoy the ride. Again, I'm going to agonize over what step does God want me to take. That's important. I can't just put it into autopilot and cruise control and just assume I'm going to take these right actions. God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to agonize over that. I'm going to seek God's will. Okay, this is the step. Here we go. And now I'm in relaxation mode because I'm just obeying him and I know he'll do the rest. I'm trusting him. But too often we get it backwards. I'm going to do this. I didn't seek God about it. I just did it because I thought this is what I wanted and this is what would be best. I just sought my own will, not God's will. I'm going to take the step. And now, now I'm going to fret and struggle to trust God. Relax after you follow God. And you can relax. That is true relaxation. David counsels himself. Psalm 42:11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? That is a frequent condition that sinners have. Why are you this way? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The health of my countenance. It's a great phrase. Why are you disquieted? Trust in God. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No, Lord, there isn't. Then why are you disquieted? Why are you afraid? If you trust in God, and each of these build on the last. So trust in God, that's where it all starts. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you trust in God, it will enable you to, the second principle is wait on God. Wait on God. I trust him, and so I'm going to wait on him. However long it takes, that's what I want, because it's his plan, not mine. Wait on God's plan. Again, Isaac was 40 years old. Look at Genesis 25, verse 20. Genesis 25, 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian. He waited 40 years to be married, and he was an old bachelor, by our standards at least. You read earlier in Genesis, you find out they weren't that young when they had started having children, at least. They weren't that young. But we don't read that Isaac was fretting or that he was resentful. We don't see that he was dating Canaanite girls or threatening to elope with the servant girl who worked for Abraham. The chapter begins with Abraham taking the lead on this. And this principle of authority is so important in getting to the marriage altar. God is able. Well, but my dad doesn't know the Lord. My parents don't want to follow God. God is able. Trust in God. It begins with Abraham taking the lead, and it ends with a wonderful blessing for Isaac. It's not a coincidence. Wait on God. Wait on God's plan. Stay in your place, Christian. Wait on God. Not just for the marriage altar, but anything in God's plan. It is critical to truly enjoying God's will. You must wait on God. Look at Psalm 62. If you decide that you want God's will, this is what I want. Not just, well, I know this is what's best, and so I'm going to settle for this. It's not what I would choose, and maybe not what I would enjoy the most, but I know it's the smartest thing, and so this is what I'm going to choose. If that's your attitude, you may not enjoy God's will very much. But if you decide that you want God's will, this is what I would want. If I could choose all the things that are out there, this is the one thing out of all of them that I would choose. It's God's will. That's what I want. That's what would please me the most. Then there will be no boundaries to you enjoying God's will. Your enjoyment will know no bounds if you want God's will for itself and for God's sake. Psalm 62, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. This is all around me. These are the people that I'm striving with. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I know what's going to happen in the future because he's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And so this is what I will do. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust in the Lord. He is my rock. He is my fortress. I shall not be moved. Wait on God's plan. If you decide that you want God's will, he will give it to you and you will enjoy it greatly. Wait on God's plan. Wait on God's timing. This is all part of waiting on God. Well, I want God to accomplish it. You have to wait on his timing. Once Eliezer left, again, Isaac had to wait probably at least 3 months for him to return. What if he failed to bring a wife back? He wouldn't know it, until that time was over. He's hoping, but he doesn't know. What if she didn't like Isaac? Or he didn't like her? What if it was just like, she's not my type? I doubt that he worried about it like that. We worry about those things. she has a nice personality. You know, thanks, Eliezer, you tried, but I don't think it's going to work. He could have worried about all kinds of things. What if she wasn't happy with him in some way? When would they be here? Wait on God's timing. It's not God's plan if it doesn't include God's timing. Stay in your place. Wait. When you bake a cake, or probably just about anything, but I used a cake. When you bake a cake, you can have the right ingredients. And we would say that's God's plan, illustration. The right thing. You've got the right ingredients. And it can be the right temperature, which would be maybe the right method. But if it's not the right time, if you take the cake out too early or take it out too late, it won't be a good cake. God's plan includes all three things: the right thing, the right method, and the right time. Wait on God. Lamentations 3:26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We know that we need patience. But we don't like all that patience includes in its definition. Patience means the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Well, I'm going to wait and I'm going to grumble the whole time. That's not patience. You might be waiting, but it's not patiently. With a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Again, if you trust God, this won't be that hard. It'll be hard for the flesh, but I know God's doing it. God's going to do it at the right thing at the right time, and I just can't wait to see it. It's exciting. It's going to be fun to see. I'm just going to relax. I'm just obeying him step by step. I'm along for the ride, and I get a front row seat to what he's going to do in my life. There's nothing to be ruffled about. There's nothing to be fretting about, to murmur about. This is what I wanted. This is what I sought for. This is exactly what I've asked God to do. So what am I upset about? Wait on God. And if you patiently wait on God, then it will allow you to do the next thing, which is rest in God. And I've already alluded to this, but let's go back to Genesis 24. Rest in God. You won't be able to rest in God if you don't trust in God. You won't be able to rest in God if you don't wait on God. If you're frantically trying to help God out, you're not waiting, you're not resting. But if you'll wait on God patiently, you'll be able to rest. You know, you can get upset. Let's just say, I remember back when I was a teenager, there would be times before I could drive that I was waiting for a ride. I was waiting for someone to come pick me up. And I think about that. I know they're going to come eventually, but I don't know when, and I'd rather not be waiting, but I am waiting. So I can either stand here and pace back and forth and get all upset because my ride isn't here yet, or I can just sit and relax and enjoy the moment that I have, not having to do anything else. I'm just waiting. That's all I'm doing. So I can enjoy this, or I can waste it getting upset about something I can't control. And that's what resting in God is all about. Well, I don't like where I am. Well, God has you there for a reason. He wants you to enjoy it. So you can choose to enjoy it, rest in God, and then appreciate it later. Genesis 24, verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Isaac didn't go out to the field to anxiously scan the horizon for his wife-to-be. Isaac was resting in God. He was content in God. He was content with God. He was enjoying God's will for the present while waiting for God's will for the future. When we do not wait on God, we set ourselves up for even more bitter disappointment. What if Eliezer had come back without a wife and Isaac had been just so obsessed with seeing this woman and scanning the horizon? There they come. Oh, you don't have one. Oh, what's going on? Where is she? What happened? Such bitter disappointment. We set ourselves up for that when we don't wait on God. When we're not resting in God, then when things don't go the way we think they should, we're even more crushed. But he went out to meditate. He went out to put the focus on the Lord. He was resting in God. We cannot enjoy. We cannot enjoy God's will for the future. Because that is for the future. It's not God's will for the present. God's will for our future is later. It's not now. If we had God's will for the future, but we had it now, it would not satisfy us because we need God's will for the present. God always knows what we need, and so he gives us what we need. Look at Psalm 131, short psalm, and shows us a great attitude that we ought to have. Psalm 131. This is how to enjoy God's will. And what a life-giving source it is when we enjoy it. Psalm 131, David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. I'm going to quiet myself, and it starts with humility. But he's quiet, he's waiting. And it says, let Israel hope in the Lord. That is future. That's related to the future. It's not related to the past. It's all about the future. Trust in the Lord. You can rest in God. Are you willing to rest in God without having what you greatly desire? Isaac didn't have it. We know how it ended, but he didn't know how it would end. He went out to meditate. He was resting in God without having what he desired. I think we've all seen a child throwing a temper tantrum. And they want what they want, and they are casting off all inner restraint to try to get that thing that they want. They're out of control. And then you've probably seen them get what they want. They throw a fit, and then the parent or somebody else gives them what they want. And what happens when they get that? Do they become just abundantly overflowing in joy and happiness? Do they just their mouth just pours out with thanks and gratitude? No. They're usually just quiet. They're just appeased. They're throwing a fit and they want it and they get it and it's like, okay, thank you. This is what I wanted. They're just appeased. They aren't perfectly happy. They have just essentially returned to the baseline of satisfaction. They were really mad and now they're just normal. But when the child of God quiets himself and is content with his lack and with having an unmet desire, you are going to be content with having your needs go unmet for now. You're going to be content with God himself, not what he'll bring you. You're going to choose to be quiet even though you don't have what you want yet. Then when God does bless you, and God does meet that need, your cup is overflowing. But you can spend your time without just throwing an inner fit. Hopefully you wouldn't do it outwardly. But you're throwing a fit and you're complaining against God and you're frustrated and upset. And then he gives you what you want. And it's like, thank you. That's what I wanted. All right, now we're moving on. I got what I wanted. You're not that happy. You're not overflowing. Your cup doesn't run over. Rest in God. Joseph, I believe, did. We know his story. For 13 years he spent in slavery or prison for nothing wrong that he did. But I think he was resting in God. Because then when he was elevated to the prime minister position in Egypt, it says in Genesis 41:50, unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God gave him these sons, and if he had been so upset and fretting and bitter over what happened, He would have just said, well, finally, I'm having some good things in life after all that I experienced. Finally, I'm starting to see some good. No, he said, God made me forget. It's gone. It's over with. I have such abundance. Look what God's done for me. Rest in God. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. We forget verse 1. We focus on the pit, and he was in a pit. But in the pit, he waited patiently for the Lord. And he brought him out, set his feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Overflowing with thanks. Look at Genesis 24 again. We're going to see one more thing. Genesis 24. Wait on God. So important. Wait patiently. Be content with where you are, and rest in what God's going to do. Genesis 24, 67. It says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah his wife, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He was comforted. That's an interesting phrase. It tells us a need that Isaac had. He didn't just need a wife. He was lacking comfort. He was lacking that comfort because his mother died. He was 37 when Sarah died. He had spent 3 years needing whatever this comfort and consolation was in his soul, in his heart. He had needed that for 3 years. He had suffered this way for 3 years, and it had gone unmet. He had not received it. He had trusted in God and waited on God and rested in God. And when God's provision came, it met his need perfectly. But he was willing to go on with that need and rest in the Lord, even though he had this need. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Rest in God. Don't try to meet your needs yourself. Let the Lord do it, and be content with the need going unmet for now, because God's timing is perfect. If you rest in God, it will bless your life now, and it will enhance God's provision later. How can we rest in God consistently and deeply? Here's the last thing. If we're going to rest in God, if we do rest in God, we can focus on God. Focus on God. Not on your need, not on what you want, but focus on God. It all comes back to trusting in God. But we see that Isaac was focusing on God. In verse 63, it says he went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. He was out there praying, meditating, focused on God. That is the recipe for spiritual success, to put all the focus on the Lord. Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Focus on God. Someone asked me recently, how can I have victory over this thing? How can I focus on all of my life if I have to be focusing on getting victory? Well, the focus is not on the sin and getting victory over the sin. The focus is on God. And God is what you need for every part of your life. For the sin that you're struggling with, for the lack of faith that you're dealing with, for the unmet needs. God is the focus for everything. The solution. Focusing on God is the solution for everything. So just focus on God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Focus on God. Psalm 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet, I will be glad in the Lord. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. put the focus on the Lord. No matter what happens, focus on God. Yay, something exciting happened. Put the focus on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh no, something difficult happened. Put the focus on the Lord. It belongs there. Nothing's happening. Put the focus on God. Focus on Him. Rest in Him. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. It's okay to talk about other things, but our conversations ought to always circle back to the Lord. He is everything. And it's okay to chat about other things, but if you have a hard time relating the things of your life to God, that reveals that your focus probably isn't on Him. It should always come back around to the Lord. When you focus on God, you'll be willing to trust God. When you focus on God, you'll be willing to follow God's will. When you focus on God, you'll want to wait on God. I want God's timing, not mine. When you focus on God, you'll be able to rest in God. And when you focus on God, you'll be ready to act like God. Turn back to Genesis 24 as we finish up. Genesis 24, and we see Isaac acting like God in the sense of enjoying God's blessings the way God wanted him to. We see that they came. He went out to the field, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, verse 63, and behold, the camels were coming, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and she saw him, and she got off the camel. She lighted off the camel. She knew who it was. She covered herself. The servant told Isaac all things that he had done. This is how God had provided. This is what Rebekah said. This is what Rebekah's father and brother said. This is what all that God has done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. He performed and acted and chose exactly as a husband should. He accepted God's will. He loved his wife. Husbands, love your wives. He is behaving like God wanted him to behave. The focus was on God. He was not selfish. He was not fretting. He was focused on God. God had given a wonderful gift to Isaac, and he enjoyed God's will for his life. But that affected Rebekah as well. Isaac needed to properly enjoy God's will for his life in order for Rebekah to enjoy God's will for her life. Your choices always affect others. We need to enjoy God's blessings and God's will in the way that he prescribes. Trust in God. Wait on God. Rest in God. Focus on God. This is how you can truly enjoy God's will. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove." You need to be transformed first. That ye may prove, put to the test, put into action. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Do you want to enjoy that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I hope you do. I sure do. But we need to be transformed. We need to put the focus on Him. This is how to enjoy God's will. Let's pray.